Welcome to the Continuous Delivery Podcast. My name is Zarar.
I'm Hino.
I'm Cheesy.
I'm Trouble.
We encountered some situations where there was a lot of technical debt piled up. And when you kind of probed why that was happening, the response sort of was, well, the product owner is pushing a particular date. Therefore, we don't really have time to work on the technical stuff. And at that point, a question came to mind was that, well, a product owner is supposed to sort of prioritize the features that are most important. And at some point, it has to be part of your technical person's, technical senior engineer, team lead, their skill set to actually effectively tie in why they need to spend time on the product, on the code base cleaning up stuff, and why that is valuable to the actual product that the product owner is trying to build. What are some of the techniques or mindsets or skills that technical person needs to have in order to be a good functioning lead for that team?
The first thing that technical people need to do more of than many of them are today is bring everything back to every technical conversation back to what's the impact on the product, what's the impact on the users or on the customer. And the things that you're talking about specifically related to technical debt is I think that can get us into an awful lot of conversations that are not related to the communication per se, but related to communication, we need to explain how does this now impact your ability to deliver value? How does this impact your ability to go to production fast? If the example that you gave was that the product owner wanted to push for a certain date, chances are that date will be easier or to achieve with high quality product versus with all the technical debt that is built up. So putting it in that context is going to be crucial.
I would also add that when you ask what's required, I think it's required from the entire team to have empathy. It kind of goes both ways, right? So the developers need to understand and have this empathy. What is the goal, or why is the product owner pushing? What is he trying to accomplish? And then, and at the same time, the product owner has to understand should try to understand a little bit of what our developers are going through, because they have their pains, they have their problems, and if this empathy and this communication channel is open, then next question is how the developers can articulate these problems in a way that it's it makes sense for the product owner. And sometimes so when you're asking Zara what it takes, it's trying to find that language. Not doesn't have to be dumbed down too much, but it still has to be brought down to a level where the product owner can understand this.
I completely agree with both of my esteemed colleagues, but I also want to just say that I think that language is really important, and I just have had so many situations or so many occasions where developers have tried to explain that. It appeared like the product owner understood that and understood those trade-offs, and yet I would circle around a little bit later and have a conversation with the product owner only to realize that they really didn't understand it at all. So one thing that I've started doing is helping the developers learn that, first of all, it's on them to make sure that the product folks understand. And second of all, helping them learn how to use metaphors or storytelling, you know, to come up with examples that they could describe that are maybe a little bit closer to the product person, something they might be able to relate to. You know, and I can give a real quick example here of one that I've used before. You know, we talk about technical debt, so a lot of people right away run to, oh, the whole credit card debt thing, but they often fall short. But if you could make it kind of personal for the product owner, where you say, what would happen if you had a close relative of yours who was very much in debt with a credit card to a point where they were having trouble pay their bills every week. You know, they were really, really struggling. And the majority of what they had to pay every month was basically the interest, you know, because they had racked it up so high. What kind of advice would you give your relative? And of course, they're going to say something like, you know, well, I would tell them to stop buying the lattes. I would tell them to save their money, to take every penny they can and to put a little bit extra aside, you know, to pay this down. And once you establish that idea with the product owner, then it's much easier now to say, okay, well, we have that situation here. You know, so much of our effort is going into paying down this interest, and we need you to help us set aside that extra capital and stop buying the lattes, you know, and set aside some of that extra capital so we can start to pay this down so that we can get our house in order. So, and maybe that's not the exact right story, but I help them understand that coming with a story like this and having those conversations is really key to having that product owner really grasp it. Often if you stay in technical terms, you're not going to get there.
Similar to what you just said, Cheesy, I've had good success actually with visualizing the effect of technical debt and the impact on the capacity of the teams delivering that value. Just having a quick chart where you say like, yeah, you know what? And currently, let's say that we're spending 10% on struggling with that technical debt, 10% because we haven't got enough unit tests, because our code is not well readable, because it's all over the place. It's not very well designed. Well, that means that instead of the 40 hours that we have in a week, I really only have 36 hours. Okay, so and in 2 weeks, we accumulate a little bit more technical debt because we're not really paying attention to it. So, well, then we have only, 36? So we only have 35 hours left. And you can see the thing going, right? Because it accumulates really fast. And the value and the capacity that product owners can play with in order to prioritize the work and to get that done and put that in the hands of the customers suddenly becomes an awful lot less, right? So by making that visible, oftentimes we have a whole different conversation.
And I think the speed at which the team delivers things also slows down when you're not able to have these conversations. The problem with that is that the speed slows down gradually. You're not gonna see a team that used to complete a feature in 3 days and now complete a feature in 3 weeks. Like it'll happen slowly. Like it'll take 4 days, then 5 days, then six. So it creeps up on you. So by the time it takes 3 weeks, you're actually all conditioned to just accept the 3 weeks. You know, you put it in terms of like, you know, 40 hours versus 36 hours. But the other way you can put it is that this feature that we are all accustomed to taking 4 weeks to send to production in any good, healthy system should not take more than 4 to 5 days. And the only reason it's taking this long is because we have accepted every single, you know, we have cut every corner along the way. And now this is our new normal. It's just taking us too long to develop stuff. And you're actually accepting it when you shouldn't be, product owner. You're accepting a time to market when you shouldn't be. And the way you can do something about it is to actually invest more time in the other areas that you both talked about.
I like, you guys mentioned metaphors. I like those metaphors where what we take like almost very obvious. For example, maintaining a house. My favorite is changing the roof, right? Nobody in the right mind would wait until their roof starts leaking and then creates crazy amount of damage in their house. They would, everybody who has common sense would replace that roof. And this is what I ask people. Like if we take that as a given that we replace our roofs, then why are we not maintaining our code? Because when that huge leak happens, it's like having a huge production defect, and then the urgency and the damage is done. It's way too late. So when I use these metaphors, which we all consider them as almost universal truth, I found sometimes that it's a bit easier to come across in these conversations, and and get the non-technical folks to have a better understanding on why this is so crucial.
So I have another metaphor for you, and the one that I actually used today. So there was a team that that was instructed to do a certain change or make a certain change to the code. And I was wondering, I said, well, where on earth might that come from? Why would that be valuable? And it turns out that it was basically a patch, right? Like patching the roof instead of actually replacing it, you would patch it so it wouldn't leak in that one spot. And then obviously 2 days later, there would be another hole that you would see, another leak. So, and I actually used a metaphor, and this was really what was going on. I said, you found a pothole in the road. And what you're doing is you're putting snowshoes on your feet so you wouldn't fall in it instead of actually filling up the pothole and fixing it. And that was exactly what was going on. So we tried to turn it around, and we have a conversation about filling the pothole that was suddenly not budgeted for, but that's what we're going to do because it makes so much more sense for each and everyone involved.
It's interesting you said not budgeted for. I'm going to jump on that. I mean, so what is budgeted for? What is budgeted for is to deliver working software. They don't budget to say, okay, here's our budget, but our goal is to deliver not working software. So I'll push back on that term, not budgeted for, because that takes me to a place where it's all about cost accounting, and they have a certain dollar figure that they're going to drive down almost to each user stories or something like that. And that's not a place where I would ever want to see or work. So,
well, we all realize that not every team has the same maturity, right? And some of them, unfortunately, are still in this place. And this is a team that is trying to get out of that place, but it's still largely there.
I want to introduce another benefit of getting this communication right, if I can. So I have unfortunately seen lots of teams where the developers continue to insist on talking to product owners using technical terms. You know, they don't really try to learn a language that can work with the product owner. And unfortunately, all too often, that kind of creates a situation where you have product owner disengagement, and that the product owner really doesn't feel like they can contribute. They don't really understand a lot of the conversation. And as a result, they're there basically to dump the next bucket of stories to the user, and they're not really engaging in that collaboration. So again, it's wildly important to get that communication right, to try to, as a team, land on what that communication is so that everybody can be a part of the discussion. Often that also means that we as developers need to learn the language of the business, you know and understand how to converse at that level and not just talk about, you know, classes and objects and code and such.
One of the interesting questions, and Chizu, thank you for bringing this up, is when you mentioned that to not allow to bleed the how conversations into the what conversations. And because I've seen it so many often, especially backlog refinement is a very, very prime example for there, where it's almost like one developer asks some question which is kind of pertains to how, and then kind of like completely unravels. And next thing they notice, they're talking about which backend API we have to call and how. And that's probably one of those examples that you mentioned where the product owner just completely feels like lost and hopeless and helpless in that particular case because he feels instinctively that yeah, this conversation is important, but yet it's just not the right time to have this conversation. And I think this is where I really put the responsibility on the entire team, but especially the developers to kind of fight this urge to go into the how every single time there is pretty much a conversation, and try to respect in that particular case is backlog refinement to discuss about the what. So that's kind of like making it more specific, Cheesy, what you were describing as a very specific example.
Yeah, that solution totally needs to be separated from the actual problem, and this is how I always refer to that. to developers who start talking about the solution and talking about the components that need to be implemented or used. I'm always trying to guide them towards thinking from the product perspective, thinking from the stakeholder perspective, thinking from the user perspective. I'm working with a couple of teams right now that do not provide front-end visible functionality, but they're providing capabilities that are accessible through an API. So instead of having this API be exercised by a system, I'm forcing them to, or encouraging them is a better way, to basically think from the perspective of those systems, what role would those systems actually perform in order to get their work done? And then the stories or the capabilities are described from that perspective. And that makes more sense for the product owner, because before that, the product owner had absolutely no input into prioritization, had absolutely no way of explaining what was important and what was not, had absolutely no way of making a choice that certain features would not need to be part of the application or the API in this case, and which ones would. So that definitely helps with the conversation.
And that concludes this edition of the Continuous Delivery Podcast. Goodbye.